In lesson 6, we are going to discuss chapter 6 and 7 of Micah. The first message of Micah was a message of warning, chapter 1 and 2. The second message was a message of promise, chapter 3 through 5. His third message was a challenge for them to trust the Lord and obey His will. That was the only way they could escape disasters and live in peace. They could fulfill God's purposes in this world. God had raised up the Jewish nation to bring blessing to the whole world. The Lord had said to Abraham that He will make him a blessing to whole earth. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we read like this. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." It was through Israel that Savior would come. Because of the disobedience of God, punished Israel very severely. Chapter 6 of Micah started with Lord's accusations against Israel. For the Lord has a case against His people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. I quote from chapter 6, verse 2. The Lord called the witnesses. We read that in Micah chapter 6, verse 1 through 2. Listen to what the Lord says. "Stand up. Plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth, for the Lord has case against His people. He is lodging a charge against Israel." That I quote. The Lord told the people to be prepared to plead their case. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like light has come into the world. Wool." Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, "The Lord has a charge to bring against Judah. He will punish Jacob according to his ways and repay him according to his deeds." The Lord was addressing the mountains and hills to hear his cause. He might be addressing the inhabitants of mountains and hills. Might be because they were worshiping the idols there. He was talking not only to the mountains, but to the strong foundations of the earth. "Let the hills hear thy voice, for this senseless, careless people will not hear it. Let the rocks, the foundations of the earth, that have no ears, hear, since Israel will not hear." The message itself was to let the world know that God has a quarrel with His people. God was pleading with His people, Israel, in compassion and tenderness, to bring them to repentance. The Lord said, "Come now and let us reason together." God was asking the question, "My people, what have I done to you? The Lord brought them out of Egypt, the land of their bondage. He redeemed them from slavery. He guided them through the wilderness, and he brought them into their promised land. On three occasions, Balak, king of Moab, commanded Balaam to curse the Israel, but God turned the curse into blessing. We read this story in Book of Numbers, chapter 22. God told Israel, verse 5 of Micah chapter 6, "My people, remember what Balak king of Moab counseled and what Balaam son of Beor answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord." The phrase "from Shittim into Gilgal" reminded the people of crossing of the Jordan River and entering the promised land. There it was between Shittim and Gilgal that upon the death of Moses, Joshua, a type of Christ, was raised up to put Israel in possession of the land of promise. The God who opened and closed the Red Sea also opened and closed the Jordan River to his people, could inherit their promised land. The people did not remember the great thing God did for them, and they were ungrateful and disobeyed their God. What the Lord requires of men. The people, instead of confessing their sin and make right with God, they seem to bargain with God. Verses 6 and 7. "Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" But God does not bargain with sinners. None of their sacrifices they offered to bring could have cleansed them from their sin. Psalm 51, 16 to 17, we read this. "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." The Lord required them to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Verse 8. "We must do justly, must render to all their due, according as our obligation and relation to them are. We must do wrong no to none, but do right to all. We must love mercy. We must show mercy to all those whom we deal with. We not only show mercy, we should love mercy. We must walk humbly with our God. We should humble ourselves to walk with God." Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 to 13, we read like this, I quote, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good." People to whom Micah ministered simply did not get the point of his message. God showed them what was good and what he required of them, but they rejected his message. Verses 9 through 16, for the second time in this message, Micah cried out to the Lord Listen. Verse he said, listen to what the Lord says. Now in verse 9 he said, listen, the Lord is calling to the city. God was speaking to the city, to Jerusalem, to Samaria. When the sin of the city cries to God, his voice cries against the city. The Lord called to the people of Jerusalem to fear his name and heed what he had to say. For without the fear of the Lord, they could have neither knowledge nor wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The man of wisdom will recognize and fear the name of the Lord. Heed the road and one who appointed it. Verse 9. Matthew Henry's commentary says, I quote, hear the road when it is coming, hear it at a distance before you see it and feel it. Hear the road when it has come, and you are sensible of the smart of it. Hear what cautions it speaks to you. Every road has a voice, and it is the voice of God that is to be heard in the road of God. God condemned the merchants of the city for being deceptive in their business practices. Micah chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. They used weights and measures that were dishonest, so their customers did not get the full value of their money. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 to 16, God commanded, do not have two differing weights in your bags, one heavy, one light. Do not have two differing measures in your house, one large, one small. The businessmen were exploiting and abusing the poor and needy in the land for whom God has a special concern. Amos chapter 8, 4 to 10. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fall, saying, what will the new moon be gone, and what we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse to the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up holy as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the morning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. I quote. God has ordained that people reap what they sow, whether good or evil. Hosea 8:7 says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Their stalk has no head. It will produce no flower, were it to yield grain, foreigners would swallow up. Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps that he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. God pronounced judgment on his people for their sin. Verse 13 says, therefore, I have begun to destroy you, to ruin you because of your sins. This judgment caused the collapse of their economy. Their farms and investments were stolen. All their enjoyments of all types and all their accumulated wealth are gone. Verses 14 and 15, you will eat but not be satisfied. Your stomach will still be empty. You will store up but save nothing. Because what you save, I will give it to the sword. You will plant but not harvest. You will press olives but not use the oil on yourselves. You will crush grapes but not drink the wine. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 8, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Isaiah 1:7, your country is desolate, your cities burned with fire, your land strangers devour it, your presence and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. In Deuteronomy, we read how God punishes his people for disobedience. Chapter 28, verses 38 through 40. You will sow much seed in the field, but you will harvest little, because locusts will devour it. You will plant vineyards and cultivate them, but you will not drink the wine or gather the grapes, because worms will eat them. You will have olive trees throughout your country, but you will not use the oil, because the olives will drop off. You will have sons and daughters, but you will not keep them, because they will go into captivity. Swarms of locusts will take over all your trees and the crops of your land. God warned them about two different kinds of judgments. So far, we were discussing the first judgment. The second judgment would be sudden and open, the total ruin of the nation by the hand of Babylon. Chapter 6:16 describes that judgment. You have observed the statues of Omri and all the practices of Ahab's house, and you have followed their tradition. Therefore, I will give you over to ruin and your people to derision, and you will bear the scorn of the nations. We read about Omri and Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 16. Both Omri and Ahab did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Assyria ruined the northern kingdom in 722 BC and did great damage to Judah in 701 BC. But by the time Babylon was finished with Judah and Jerusalem, the nation would be in ruin and the people in derision. The southern kingdom did not pay any attention when God judged the northern kingdom. Instead of following God's way, they followed the godless ways of two kings of Israel, Omri and Ahab. Both of them did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all who were before them. Jeremiah 25:9, I will summon all the people of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord. I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn, and an everlasting ruin. Now we come to chapter 7 of Micah. Micah very sadly laments the woeful decay of the nation. There was no righteousness and widespread immorality, and there was no godly person left in the land. Verses 1 through 6 of chapter 7. The prophet gave counsel to the people what to do. Verse 7 says, they must have an eye to the Lord. They must face the enemy courageously, verses 8 through 10. They should willingly under submission of God while they go through his rebuke, verse 9. They must expect long tribulation from their enemies and must endeavor to make the best of it, verses 11 through 13. They must encourage themselves with God's promises, verses 11, 14 through 15. They must foresee the fall of their enemies, verses 16 through 17. They must themselves triumph in the mercy and grace of God and his faithfulness to his covenant, verses 18 through 20. Chapter 7, verse 1 through 6. The prophet started with the expression, "Woe is me." He was describing the bad times in the land. He was mourning himself about the degenerate condition of the generation. "Woe is me, for I am like the fruit pickers and the grape gatherers. There is not a cluster of grapes to eat, or a first ripe fig tree, fig which I crave." Verse 1. There was no cluster of grapes to eat. That means the best grapes are those that grow in large clusters. The grape gatherers could only find some withered grapes that were left behind. The prophet was eager to find a first ripe fig. The good men who were godly and compassionate and honest were perished. Good people were few, and they were like withered grapes. Psalm 12, verse 1. "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men." Verse 2. "The godly person has perished from the land, and there is no upright person among them. All of them lie in wait for bloodshed. Each of them hunts the other with a net. There were so many wicked people among them. They shed blood of the other people, and they hunt each other. To get wealth for themselves, they hurt others. They were like beasts of prey, lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. They persecute them as noxious creatures." Verse 3 says that they do evil with both hands well. They did evil with a great deal of art and dexterity. Princes and judges asked for bribes. The great men who had wealth and power to do good was not ashamed to act mischievously and had all the support of prince and judge, and they stood by him. People suffered when their princes, judges, and great men were in a confederacy to pervert justice. Verse 4 says that the best of them was as briar. The most upright was sharper than a thorn hedge. It was a dangerous thing to have anything to do with them. Micah chapter 7 verse 4 says, "The day of your watchman has come, the day God visits you. Now is the time of their confusion." The day of your watchman refers to the day of judgment, when the watchmen on the walls would see the enemy approaching and call out to warn the people. God's prophets were his watchmen, constantly warning the nation. But the leaders would not listen. They believed lies. They were in a state of confusion. There was no faith in man. Verse 5 says that, "Do not trust neighbor or a friend." and be careful what anyone was talking. They would not have confidence in anyone who did business with them. They could not even trust their wives because she might betray them. Jeremiah 9:4 says, "Beware of your friends. Do not trust your brothers, for every brother is a deceiver and every friend a slanderer." They lived in the midst of deception. Jeremiah 9:6 says, Jesus quoted my, no, Jeremiah 9:6 that I was quoted. Jesus quoted Micah chapter 7, 6 in Matthew 10:36. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Micah 7:6, I quote, "For a son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies are the members of his own household." It is so sad to imagine that people rebel against God even though they know that they are under God's wrath and their land is in terrible condition. It would have been a wise thing for the people to turn from their sin and seek God's mercy. But sinners don't do wise things because their eyes are blinded. They walk in the darkness. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Verses 7 through 20 gives a vision of hope. The prophet looked away from the pathetic condition of the people and looked towards the faithfulness of God. Verse 7, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me." Micah was looking down through the centuries and saw Israel come through great tribulation and enter into the promised kingdom. God will bring victory to God's people. He will fulfill his promises. Verses 8 through 10 of chapter 7 record the voice of the nation. The enemies of God's people insulted them by saying, "Where is the Lord their God?" People answered them, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Even though they were defeated, eventually they will conquer their enemies and trample them like mud in the streets. According to Jesus, the Jewish nation will experience great tribulation and will be persecuted by all the Gentile nations in the end times. In the end, Christ will return and give his people great victory. Read this in Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 through 31. Micah speaks to the city of Jerusalem and assures her that though she had been attacked and destroyed, she would one day be rebuilt. Verses 11 through 14. Israel will have a new city and temple. The boundaries of the nation would be expanded. Isaiah and Ezekiel predicted the same thing. Read Isaiah chapter 2 and Ezekiel 40 to 48. Micah prayed to the Lord and asked him to be the faithful shepherds of Israel and care for his people. Verse 14. Isaiah 40:11. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Micah 7:15 say, God replied, as in the days when you come out of Egypt. I will show them my wonders. In the last days, God will stand against the enemies, and the Gentiles will see the power of God. They will crawl like snakes and lick dust. They will come out of their hiding places to submit to the Lord. Verses 16 through 17. God will forgive the sins of Israel. God is merciful, and he will give victory against their enemies. Because of their sin, they came under bondage. By pardoning their sin, God released them from their bondage. The prophet asks, "Who is a God like you?" Verse 18. That is the meaning of Micah's name. He is a God who pardons sin, forgives transgression, and delights in showing mercy. Verses 18 through 20. Verse 20 we read, "You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to your fathers in days long ago." We will trust God more when we see his character. We will have more peace in our heart when we know the promises and covenants of God. How hopeless the future looks, yet we have hope if we knew God and fully trust him. In the darkest day, the light of God's promises will shine. We don't need to be confused and frightened because of our circumstances, because God's character never changes. We can trust him all our life. He will guide us and give victory against our enemies. Praise the Lord. This concludes the study on Book of Micah. Bye. God bless you.